Past research has indicated where you live could affect your health, but how do you measure the factors that contribute to that effect? How would you measure whether your neighborhood is in better or worse shape at helping you to be or stay healthy? Rick Sadler has tackled that question. He's an assistant professor of public health and an urban geographer at Michigan State University's College of Human Medicine's Flint campus. He was the lead author of a study published in the journal Social Science and Medicine, and he joins us now. Hi there.
Howdy, how you doing?
It's fine. So how would you go about measuring how your neighborhood affects your health?
Yeah, we know that individual characteristics like access to healthy foods have some relationship to health and health behaviors, but we didn't know how all kinds of different variables rolled together. And so we used this process called the analytic hierarchy process, and we consulted experts on the subject and asked them to tell us what they thought would be most important in predicting health and health behaviors. And then we threw it all in a what they call map algebra and basically added them all of these map-based variables together, and we came up with an index that we think predicts health and health behaviors.
Now, you did a big survey among academic and community leaders in Flint. Who do you pick for something like that?
Yeah, so everybody that participated is a member of the Flint Center for Health Equity Solutions, and that's an NIH-funded center grant that we're working on here. And so those included academic partners as well as partners from our community consortium.
What kind of things were they asked to score?
Things like access to healthy foods, exposure to crime, exposure to industrial contamination, proximity to doctor's offices, parks. So both good and bad things.
How do you determine whether one factor or another has more impact on health?
So in this case, they basically, it was like a round-robin sports tournament. So all of the variables competed against one another. And so you would ask yourself, you know, what's more important, you know, in predicting good mental health and, you know, preventing substance abuse, you know, exposure to heroin overdoses or crime or blight, like which of those are most important?
What'd you find?
So what we found, it was probably not unexpected, but a little dismaying, that there was a lot of variation from neighborhood to neighborhood.
Well, I don't mean so much that. Just how do you indicate how significant some of these factors are?
That's a good question. So it's all up to the expert. The experts were the ones that were rating how important these were. And so the only thing that we did on the map side is come up with basically the proximity to or the distance away from good or bad elements. And then the experts were really the ones that gave the weights to those variables.
Now, you created what you call a healthfulness index for each of the areas in the neighborhoods. What did you do with the information you gathered from that survey to create that?
Yeah, so once we had this information, really what we want to be able to do is both link it to the intervention studies that we're going to be doing over the next couple of years, and linking basically where people live and the healthfulness score in their neighborhood to their health behaviors and their health behavior change, so that we can answer whether neighborhood context really does influence someone's ability to change their behavior for the better. And what we also hope to be able to do is, once we have a better grip on how this actually influences health, to advocate for changes to the built environment, specific, like targeted changes in neighborhoods where we know, for instance, that, you know, it's a lot harder for people to make this health behavior change because of some negative characteristic of their neighborhood.
As we mentioned, past research has indicated where you live can affect your health, but how unique is your index?
As far as I could tell, I mean, anywhere I was looking, I couldn't find anything like this. And it's part of the reason that we decided to do this, because, you know, people will look at an individual characteristic like proximity to parks and see how that influences mental health or physical activity. But nobody's really thrown a bunch of variables together to see how they interact.
Now, you talked about this a little bit, but I'm wondering what can or should be done with this data? Where do you go from here, and where do you get policymakers involved?
Yeah, so like I was saying, you know, in a perfect world, there wouldn't be any variation in these scores. But because we saw so much neighborhood variation, you know, some neighborhoods have all kinds of amenities, and then other neighborhoods have very few. And, I mean, again, that's not news. But being able to highlight it in this index and being able to link it to the way people can actually affect behavior change is a better advocacy tool for policymakers, because we can say, look, neighborhoods that have, you know, XYZ negative characteristics, you know, people are 40% less likely to be able to be physically active. And so if we make these neighborhoods the way these other neighborhoods look, then we should see that same effect where, you know, people are more able to change their behaviors.
So if I'm looking at a literal map of Flint and see how you've rated these different neighborhoods, does a pattern emerge geographically?
A little bit, yeah. There's been a lot of new investment in downtown and kind of east and west of downtown along the Flint River and out toward Mott Community College. And those neighborhoods score really well because there's a lot of amenities, you know, blights being cleaned up, crime is lower in those places, whereas older neighborhoods north of downtown and in the east side still are scoring a lot lower, and that's because they have so many of these challenges.
I assume that socioeconomics have a lot to do with that.
Yeah, for sure.
How about race?
You know, in Flint, I don't think there's not much of a pattern anymore. I mean, really what the inequality is, and it's the same with the water crisis, for instance, is that the suburbs of Flint are still overwhelmingly white, and the city of Flint is predominantly African-American. And so when we talk about inequalities from city to suburb, that's where a lot of the issue comes in. But within the city, the variation in terms of healthfulness scores doesn't really reflect based on race.
So this research being in Flint, of course, Flint is still dealing with the aftermath of the lead contamination of the water. How can this help Flint residents in particular?
Yeah, I think it's an advocacy tool. It's another piece of evidence that, you know, community partners can use in, for instance, grant applications to say, look, our neighborhood is lagging behind in these indicators, and we want to do something about it. So can you help us out?
Rick Sadler is an assistant professor of public health at Michigan State University, working at the Flint campus of the College of Human Medicine. He was the lead author of a study published in the journal Social Science and Medicine, reinforcing research that indicates where you live can affect your health. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.